brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, welcome to the Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. I am one of your hosts, co-host, victim. This is good old boy Mike. I have a really well-caffeinated crew here today. Welcome to the show, good old boy Scott.
Hello.
And welcome, good old gal Marina.
Hello.
And Reverend Mark is going to be here.
Hello.
Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee. Today's episode is about coffee, but it's from a single origin. And in this case, it's going to be the country of Ethiopia. So we have a pretty cool place to talk about here on the planet. Oh, the land of happy goats holds much of the early stories of coffee. What we'll get to hear all about that a little bit later. We have at least four coffees to chat about today, and our topic worthy of discussion: emotional support animals. The thrill that you have, you're like, hey honey, come listen to this.
I think my coffee counts as an emotional support animal.
Yes. I can hear people almost going, should I mute now or later or later later? So probably the case. So Scott actually helped us to select all of the beans we're going to be talking about today. Scott, tell us a little bit about what we're going to be tasting.
Sure, Mike. Thanks. Yeah, we've got some really interesting coffees from the birthplace of coffee, which of course is Ethiopia. We've got four coffees, and they're going to highlight a little bit of the processing difference as well as regional differences in Ethiopian coffees. So we've got a Wash Yirgacheffe. These coffees are all from the south of the country. A natural process Ethiopia Sidamo. A wash process Sidamo. Did I already say that? Maybe I did. I don't know. Might need a cup of coffee. And then a natural process Guji. Unusual name, but really fantastic coffee. And of course, as we already said, our worthy topic of discussion is emotional support pets. I've got my cats here. They're supporting me emotionally. So if this is your first time with coffee, or you're looking for some more basic education on coffee, you can always check out our Coffee 101 episode and our Coffee Journey episode. The lights go down in the city. Definitely not that journey. Not that journey. No, when I lived in the Bay Area, they were on the radio a lot. And I think it was only because they were from there, they were on the radio. Sorry if you like Journey. That's not my problem. All right. So those links are on our episode notes, and you can search for them anywhere.
Thanks, Scott. Marina gets the honors. At least I'm thinking that word, most likely it's, you know, the expendable crew member, the person most likely to not say, no, Mike, I'm not doing that. So she gets the honors of going over our SIPs ratings today, keeping with our tradition that new co-hosts get the honor of reading these, but it's with a twist, you know. So, I mean, we are in the land of elephants here. So I'm going to let you go for your favorite Dumbo voice, or frankly, you know, any elephant for that matter. So, you know, go for it, Marina.
Well, at least you didn't ask me to do it in the voice of a goat, which
It was a coin toss. It was a coin toss. Wow. More gin at table six.
Okay. I'll do my best Dumbo voice here. We'll be tasting and discussing these coffees all from Ethiopia, and rating them with our SIPs ratings plus signature sounds. I don't have to make the sounds too, do I, Mike?
No.
Okay. Whew. Well, here are those ratings now. SIPs ratings. One, give me a glass of water to wash out my trunk, or a hose and a bucket.
Water. Bring water. Bring water.
SIPs rating two. Nice. But what other peanuts do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three. Interesting. What
What was this again?
Interesting.
Sips rating number 4. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Please hose me another.
That's classified.
Classified. 5. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good, and elephants never forget.
Yeah.
Oh, I was unprepared for that sound effect.
I'm telling you, you know, usually don't give out ratings for, you know, performances in the first 5 minutes, but I'm telling you, that was just really good. Almost worthy of a slow clap. So
when Dumbo met Sally, was that that last sound effect?
Doing so well right up to that point.
No. All right. I have some background on Ethiopia, but I'm hoping I can just use my regular voice.
Yes, we will let you do that. Yes, although please. It was very entertaining.
happy to be of service. So rumor has it that Ethiopian coffee was initially discovered around 850 AD by an Ethiopian goat herd named Kaldi. Kaldi noticed his goats acting unusually energetic after grazing on the coffee cherries, which led the goat herd to pick some for later. He took these beans to a local monastery where the monks supposedly cast them into the fire for fear of evil magic. Once they smelled the delightful roasted aroma, however, they took the beans out of the fire, ground them up, and brewed them in water. While Ethiopia is the essential birthplace of coffee, this legend, however, is more likely mythical than factual. Regardless of Ethiopian coffee's humble beginnings, it's time to see why Ethiopian coffee is worth a try. Now, each coffee-producing region of Ethiopia provides various growing conditions, with generally only 6 regions contributing the majority of the country's coffee. And 3 of them, Sidamo, Harar, and Yirgacheffe, are trademarked by the Ethiopian government, just like champagne. Let's learn a little more about them. Sidamo. The Sidamo region, or Sidama, the two are largely interchangeable, is located in Ethiopia's southern highlands at sky-high elevations between 4,900 and 7,200 feet. At these elevations, coffee beans are designated SHG, or strictly high-grown. Higher elevation means slower growth, and this longer growth period allows the beans to absorb more nutrients from the soil, which in turn results in a more complex flavor profile. Good Sidamos are vibrant and crisp, with sweet florals, citrus notes, and a nice clean aftertaste. Guji, and now I always love the term guji because to me it sounds like juicy. And so when I think of guji coffees, I think a lot of that juicy flavor. Guji used to be considered a sub-region of Sidamo until about 10 years ago, when it became recognized as a distinctive coffee-growing region with its own unique characteristics. Guji's heirloom coffee varietals are known for their strong, full-flavored beans. Aside from a tart acidity, coffee from this region features floral and dark chocolate tones. Yirgacheffe is another micro-region of the larger Sidamo and produces some of the world's most well-known, well-loved, and unique coffees. Traditionally washed, these beans make the Earl Grey tea of the coffee world, intensely aromatic, elegant, floral, with fruity notes like berries and citrus. Harar, the fourth growing region we're going to discuss, is renowned as one of the oldest coffee-producing regions. Harar coffee is still sorted and processed by hand to this day, mainly in the dry or natural style. The profile is striking, wine-like, without being overly acidic, with a creamy full body and flavors like chocolate-covered blueberries. And it's really hard. I don't see a lot of Harar these days. Maybe Scott can explain why, as I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I last time I was in Ethiopia was almost 20 years ago, and even then, the Harar coffees were super rare. That area of the country typically has very little rainfall and suffers from crop failures and drought and such. So the production gets smaller and smaller each year. So when you find the true Harars, they're super cool looking. The beans are kind of long, football shaped, and almost a little bit of a golden color before you roast them. But very rare, very expensive. Much of the coffee actually doesn't leave the region. Lots gets exported from Ethiopia to the Middle East and other places. So in the US, we don't see as much as we used to, which is a bummer.
Yeah, you know, The only thing I've had that's similar to Harar is Yemen coffee, which is also very hard to find. It's also traditionally naturally processed. I think I spoke to an importer who described them being spread out on the rooftops in order to dry in the sun. And so if you get an opportunity to taste coffee from Yemen, that's going to be very similar to this kind of old school Harar Ethiopian, in my opinion. Scott's nodding, so he may or may not agree.
Absolutely, I agree.
Now, an invitation into an Ethiopian home is considered an incomplete invitation if it does not include coffee. Coffee is essential to Ethiopian hospitality culture. And many times an invitation is often unnecessary, and it's common for visitors to simply stop in when the aroma of coffee hits the air. Now, I have to admit that I've never attended an Ethiopian coffee ceremony, but if there is an Ethiopian restaurant where you are, and they offer a coffee ceremony, then it's definitely an experience worth checking out. I've been recommended to attend one of these for a while. It's where the beans are roasted in front of you on the fire, very traditionally ground in like a mortar and pestle type of device and brewed right in front of you. Coffee has been a longstanding heritage of Ethiopian culture, stood the test of time, and will remain for centuries to come. Regardless of your taste and style or preferred coffee preparation, you can rest assured that there will be an Ethiopian coffee to fit your vibe. Now, let's charge right into our first bean today, which is the washed Yirgacheffe.
So, Scott, why don't you give us a little bit of background on this right here before break? Why did you pick the washed Yirgacheffe?
Oh, sure. Okay. I picked the washed Yirgacheffe as they're probably the most, I would say, exotic or historically well-known coffees coming out of Ethiopia. Yirgachefs are known for having flavors of black tea and citrus and florals.
Hey, we'll be right back after this break.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, welcome back to Sips, Suds, and Smokes. On today's Sips episode, this is a coffee episode, and we're actually coffee, you know, and we're talking about single origins, and our single origin of choice today is Ethiopia. We were just going through some background on Ethiopian coffees from Marina, and Scott actually was giving us the background on the washed Yirgacheffe. I'll let you actually back up if you just want to. So I had asked you kind of, why did you pick this one?
Right. Sure, Mike. Yeah, I think if I look at all the classic archetypes of coffee and what, you know, what each country might be famous for, Ethiopia Yirgacheffe has always been one of those exotic coffees, and they were a little bit rare and harder to find back in the early days with specialty in the 60s and 70s. But now Yirgacheffe is kind of the old stalwart, as are washed Edamos. But this particular Yirgacheffe that I sent you guys is super floral. It has the classic notes of Yirgacheffe, which are black tea, believe it or not, and a kind of heady, perfumey note, and a lot of citrus, specifically like lemon kind of stuff in the background. So to me, this was like, okay, classic Yirgacheffe. Let's have the guys taste this one.
Yeah. So my cupping notes are not even remotely close to some of those. So I wrote down, let's see. Well, so I did get it was rather fruity, although the fruit that I was picking up on was blueberries. I thought it was had good balance about it. I really thought it was super squeaky clean. And we use that term. It just means it's just not leaving any aftertaste, you know, kind of on the palate itself. Let's see. I wrote down a few of the things here. Low acid. It's a good solid example, I thought. You know, this is a region of coffee that when most people were first introduced to Ethiopia, this is like the gateway, you know, variety, I think, or the gateway region of an Ethiopian that people are going to probably find most predominant.
Lesser known fact too, which is kind of cool, is that Yirgacheffs are actually considered Sidamo coffees. Because it occurs that Yirgacheff is in, or Yirga Alam, which are kind of the small little towns there, are in the Sidamo region. But it was just brought out years ago as a sub-region because the coffee flavor was so special and unusual.
Interesting. Well, I'm sorry I didn't describe any of those classics. What else did you guys think about this in your cupping of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because the Yirgacheffe actually is one of those eye-opener coffees where sometimes it can taste much more like tea than coffee, and it definitely doesn't have that rich, almost kind of chocolatey, nutty, kind of roast-forward flavor profile that a lot of us that is very kind of South American, Indonesian, right? That you associate with coffee. Like if something is tasting like coffee, usually a Yirgacheffe does not have that classic taste like coffee flavor. I actually disagreed with Scott in that I got a lot of oolong tea out of this instead of black tea. So we can fight about that later.
That would just make you wrong. That's okay.
Let's but see, which button do I hit there? Uh-oh. I'm just going to go for it.
Otherwise, I got a lot of his same tasting notes. I got a lot of that lemon, lime, grapefruit, really, really citrusy, a lot of floral. I thought that it was really interesting as it cooled. There was almost this, almost like a pancake batter sort of flavor to it, like a doughy, like a really nice doughy flavor, which is probably some sort of floral. Usually if something tastes a little chalky or doughy to me, I think that there's a floral character there. And then I got a little bit of effervescent, like herbal note. So I thought like if I was pairing this coffee with something, it would be some kind of either fruity scone or like maybe an herbal scone, like a chive scone. And that would sit really nicely with this kind of cup.
Mm. Cool. Reverend Mark or Scott, what did you guys think about it?
For me, I parallel a lot of what Scott said initially. For me, though, I picked up on the aroma of some honeysuckle, just very faint.
So I'm hearing a lot of people saying floral things because oolong tea is very floral. I think of it as very floral. And so and honeysuckle definitely, you know, has a very distinct, you know, aroma about it.
And I agree that the acidity was, you know, not overbearing. It was still fairly bright and just finished clean. And it seemed to me to be a coffee that I could drink all day, although I don't drink coffee all day. But that it's very approachable. On a second tasting, I got even some kind of cinnamon or kind of earthy cinnamon herbal notes. And kind of another note is a grassiness, could be lemongrass, but just kind of a grassy aspect.
I actually wrote green peppercorn down, so I think I was probably tasting the same thing that you were.
Scott, anything else to add here?
Yeah, just I think that what Marina said early on, I think makes a lot of sense. These are kind of non-coffee coffees out of Ethiopia. You know, you don't traditional cupping notes are not of things like, wow, this tastes like blueberry, or this reminds me of flowers, or this is, you know, lemon juice or whatever the thing might be. These are unusual and set themselves apart in the coffee world because of their sort of diverse and unusual flavor profiles.
Cool.
It's also interesting to note that we're referring to all these coffees by their regions, and Ethiopian coffees tend to be referred to by their regions because a lot of the beans are heirloom, meaning they're naturally growing coffee varieties. Now, no other parts of the world, there were beans specifically transported to these regions to be grown there. And so you'll see more of the bean type referred to in the name. We're not referring to the bean varietal in any of these. And I think that the one that bucks this trend is the geisha. If you find a geisha anywhere, then that's definitely worth calling out.
Well, and I think usually when you find at least this labeling characteristic, and I think Ethiopian, most of this is harvested through a co-op process. And so you don't find, you know, reference to a particular, you know, estate or, you know, from this part of Yirgacheffe or something like that. They're all you know, harvested together. Common varietal beans are actually harvested and blended together in a co-op, right?
Kind of. I mean, the thing that they, the Ethiopian producers would call their properties is sort of like a coffee garden. You know, everyone has a coffee garden in their backyard, and they might bring their cherries to a cooperative mill or
right.
private milling station. But yeah, it's small holders, small production. You're dead on there. There's not a lot of big estates to be found anywhere in the country, really,
yeah.
with the exception of the eastern part.
Well, our sips rating here for the Wast Yerushef is going to be a 3.
Interesting.
Well, we definitely have a topic worthy of discussion today, and Reverend Mark is going to tell us, as we hold hands with each other, all about emotional support pets.
Yes, yes, support pets. I just love them. I love to hate them sometimes. I was in higher education for 27 years, and we actually had to deal with the subject of support pets long before it was socially acceptable. And even my secretary at one time, before she came to our office, was in the chancellor's office. And one of her jobs, I'm not lying about this, is that she kept the weekly calendar for the chancellor's wife's dog. Yes. So we kind of rolled with
this. How does that show up in Outlook? I mean, do I know if the dog's attending the meeting or not? Or, you know... Yeah. Got to take a whiz at 8:06. You know, I mean, you know, what's this look like on my calendar?
Yeah. So, you know, it, I could see how during certain times of the year, you know, for the clientele that we were dealing with that support dogs mostly, but any kind of pet would certainly be good to, you know, bring in to, you know, that setting to reduce a little bit of stress and, you know, just kind of get everybody kind of loosened up for final exams, whatever's going on. But, you know, it seems to be at a whole different level now. I'm talking like maybe 10 years ago when all this was going on. So now we see that, you know, any kind of pet can provide some interesting moments. And so this past week, there was one that came up on CNN that provided an insight into this whole, you know, discussion about these kinds of emotional support pets that we just couldn't let go by. It had a scene of kids playing in Philadelphia with I'm not lying about this, an alligator. Yeah, in Philadelphia. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, it's summer. It's
not typically gator country, really.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, we were in the SEC, so gators are something else entirely.
Right.
Anyway, these kids were playing with this gator named Wally. And, you know, it's summer. It's been extremely, you know, big heat wave, even, you know, in the mid-Atlantic. And I think they were filling up dumpsters with water to, you know, create, you know, kind of ad hoc swimming pools. And I'm not sure where this gator came from initially, but it really shows that there was this young girl walking an alligator on a leash as they were playing in a series of water fountains in Love Park, as CNN reported on it. So. Interestingly, they gave in this report that it is absolutely legal to own an alligator as a pet in Pennsylvania, but that it is against the law to release.
You got a license for that alligator?
Yeah. But it's against the law to release it into the wild. Go figure.
So no flushing it into the sewers like they used to do in New York City.
Yeah, that's what we used to do when we go to Florida. We get a little, you know,
the good old days.
the good old days when, you know, when our sewer systems were brand new. So, but nonetheless, this particular alligator, Wally, is a 7-year-old reptile, is a TikTok star, and is actually a bona fide licensed emotional support animal, at least according to his social media accounts. Now, we are told, and this is a reptile, you know, so keep this in mind, that Wally likes to be pet and reportedly loves to give hugs. So
short hug with those arms, I guess.
Yeah, right? Little
yeah,
arms.
Yeah, no, I know. Golly. So it was Wally was adopted in 2016 by a reptile enthusiast, of course, a guy named Joey Henry. And in the Philly Voice reported all this about Henny, who is sadly, and let's give him some encouragement, obviously, and is certainly understanding why any kind of emotional support is so critical here. He's going undergoing cancer treatments and has a GoFundMe page to help cover the care for Wally and other scary critters as he looks to
scary or scaly.
Is that what it says? That's on the list, other scary critters?
Yeah, that too. So anyway, we believe that Wally is a hopeful contestant in America's Favorite Pet, Animal Kingdom, an online competition for pets.
Like we had needed one more thing to be competitive on the planet.
Yeah. Where the winner will receive, Wally, we're betting on you, will receive $10,000 and will be featured in a 2-page In Touch Weekly spread. Wally's TikTok
like
account.
Like a calendar girl spread. Like,
yeah.
Like you just pull out the centerfold and there's lounging alligator.
Does Wally have headshots available?
Yes.
Maybe we should super have guilty them on. Now.
I used to, as a kid in Florida, I used to go to this restaurant called Big Al's and their specialty was fried alligator. So I'm feeling really bad now.
You ate tastes Wally.
I mean, tastes maybe a lot they like were chicken. I got to be honest with you.
You know, who knows? It could, those gators could have been big, you know, big time, but you had them for lunch.
I know. You know, they yeah. were, it was good. I mean, what
I, yeah, I've had andouille made with gators. So, you know,
there you go. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the continuity of the theme we have where we've been picking on all these interesting things in Philly. So first off, it was that they actually greased up all the light poles, you know, and we're like, who's the guy that came up with that, you know, that plan of going, you know what, to keep people from not climbing up the light poles when they, you know, win a professional football game or basketball game or whatever. Let's just put some grease on the light poles. Who's the guy that takes it off the light poles? That's the guy I want to talk to. Right. And
yeah,
we really did have this. It was a real story where the way that they dealt with having swimming pools in Philadelphia is that they would actually take a dumpster and put it right on the street and line it with plastic and fill it with water. And that's how they have swimming pools in Philly. So,
can't you do that in your truck bed? Isn't that a thing these days?
Well, that's only in Kentucky. See, this is Philly. That's a completely different process, right. You know? Yeah. So in Kentucky, it's called a mobile pool. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can pull your trailer or your fifth wheel, you know, RV, or you can just hang out with your friends in the truck, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, the thing that was getting me with this story is it's like where do you start with, you know, that discussion of going, hey, mom, so listen, I want to have an emotional support pet. You know, first off, I mean, just the front end of that question is just, you know, it's like, where do you go from there? But when it's like, I want a pet alligator. So we're going to, you know, double your dosage. You know, I mean, it's like, where do you go from there?
Maybe your doctor just writes a prescription for an alligator, you know, just and you just go down to the pharmacy and pick it up.
Yeah, we're definitely going to double your dosage. Right, for sure. The thing is why would you have like a competition for an emotional support pet? My gator actually cares for me better than your cat. How do you judge such a thing? You know, it's like,
yeah,
what kind of criteria do you go through?
Maybe it's just like a beauty pageant type of pet show off competition.
I don't know if I can get through anything that wants to hug me with tiny hands. I'm sorry, but
I actually want to hug an alligator. I want to know what that experience is like. Like, is it like cool to the touch? Like, is it, you know, like, what does it feel like?
Yeah, I had a pet iguana when I was a teenager, and you know they're kind of hard to warm up to. But I loved him. I loved to carry him around on my shoulder. You know, he's great companion at parties. But but anyway, you know, I'm gonna give Wally a chance here, and you know, I encourage everyone to check out the videos, TikTok, and go to YouTube, and we promise you this story about Wally is not a complete crock.
I don't think so. I can hear him going
banned once again.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened out of that. I'm sorry.
I mean, back when I was young, we only had imaginary friends. We didn't actually have pets that followed us around.
Do you think an imaginary friend could actually be an emotional support imaginary friend? I mean, do you have to get them a ticket to go on the plane with you?
That would get expensive really fast.
But if you had more than one imaginary friend, do you have to have multiple licenses? I mean, you know, where does it go from here? I'm not really quite sure.
Boy, I bet an alligator though could shuffle under a whole row of airplane seats in a hurry. Boy, that would be fun to watch.
Yeah, and just when you thought it was just going to be okay to fly again.
Yeah, right when you just gotten over snakes on planes.
For sure.
Didn't they used to make fancy luggage out of alligators? Isn't this just like the next iteration of alligator on a plane?
What, you're saying that the luggage now has a TikTok account?
Yeah,
probably. This is when it all starts to fall apart, isn't it? You were wondering when the apocalypse is coming. This is it right here. When you actually have an emotional support pet that's an alligator, this is when it all falls apart. Well, we are going to talk about coffee some more in our next segment. And after we come back from this break, we're actually going to move to the Saitama region. And we actually have two different processing methods. We're going to talk about the natural and the wash that we have, and maybe in kind of an integrated conversation, because there were some stark differences between them. And I look forward to us talking about that right after this break.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip Suds and Smokes. On today's Sips episode, we're actually talking about coffee from a single origin. In this case, we're actually talking about coffees from Ethiopia. And we just had a fun discussion of our topic-worthy discussion, emotional support pets as an alligator. And Marina just asked me before we hop back on, do we actually have listeners in Philly? Well, probably not now. but hey, you know, pick
and we didn't even talk about sports.
Yeah, for sure.
Imagine that
could be a long topic. Well, I do want us to get to talk about the coffees from Saitama. Scott, so you actually picked two different processing, the natural Saitama is the next one we wanted to go through.
Yeah, the basic for our listeners, the basic differences are natural processed coffees, that the cherry itself is allowed to dry on the coffee bean once harvested. And what's become kind of the way of drying these coffees in Ethiopia is there's raised drying beds, like big tables that have sort of a chicken wire and tarp on them. And you're allowing some air to get up from underneath, and over a period of 5 to 7 days, maybe weather dependent, that cherry shrinks down and dries onto the coffee bean, which imparts some of that amazing fruit flavor, reminiscent of, you know, black cherry or Bing cherries, that kind of deal. And then wash coffees, you're removing the pulp and doing a process called fermentation. No yeast added typically, but the exterior of the coffee bean, once you take off that fruit, is kind of slimy and sticky. And the fermentation process over a period of, let's say, 24 to 36 hours, the coffee sits in a tank, and that mucilage, the coffee honey on the outside of the bean, is magically transformed to becoming much looser. And then the coffee is washed again, washing off all that sticky coating. And then the coffee is dried in parchment, which means without its cherry, in the sun on those same kind of raised drying tables. So that's, you know, a broad sense of the two processes. And in the cup, the washed coffees, as you'd expect, wouldn't have that same degree of cherry and red or black fruit as the naturals do. Hmm. Typically more lemony, citrusy, that kind of thing. Exactly. So that's the, that's the processing differences of those two guys.
I will chime in and say that I've noticed that within the coffee professional world, there's some amount of disdain for naturals. I think that they've become more.
Oh my gosh.
they've definitely become scandal. More prominent. It is. It's like coffee scandal.
I think it sucks.
I mean, I'm a fan of the naturals, but a few years ago, there was kind of a big kind of scary discussion around coffee that tastes more like a processing method than the beans itself or the region that it's grown in. That processing method can sometimes like cover up the taste of the bean or cover up quality issues. And of course, there are sort of farmer level issues as well about how we support farmers and different processing methods.
No, it's true.
Where's my Starbucks?
It's amazing to see that, regardless, we're talking about Ethiopia today, but, you know, as an importer and a roaster, I can tell you that the popularity of natural processed coffees from everywhere in the world is amazing. So we see naturals out of Guatemala, a country that did very little natural processed coffee before. We see them out of Honduras, and I don't know, is it right? Is it wrong? It's a processing thing. If there's a roaster that likes it and thinks it's interesting and it's going to find a home and an audience, then producers will try it. Because for the farmer, it's all about, you know, how can I get the maximum amount of income for the coffee that I have planted on my property? So I can't really fault a farmer for doing that. If there's a roaster willing to pay a big premium for natural processed coffee, then these guys are going to try it. So, you know, it's a mixed kind of outcome, I guess.
Well, I think what was interesting reading over my cupping notes here, one, that my score for both these were exactly the same. Although if you were to read my, you know, cupping notes, you'd go, wow, these are really. So for the natural version, the first thing it caught me is rather earthy. It actually had more flavor. Let's see. I put down like multiple fruits, mango, kind of stone fruit, plum. There was a more acid, you know, with this. So I actually wrote kind of a medium acid. I actually finished my cupping note out here. Flavor has arrived. So
flavor train.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What else did you guys think about the natural?
Yeah, I got a lot of the kind of some bright stone fruit. And Scott mentioned earlier for the first one that we were discussing, black tea, but I got black tea with this one for some reason. The acid was a little brighter, and the aroma for me was kind of nutty. So I liked it.
Yeah. The Sudamo, the natural for me, I don't know who said earthy, but a little bit earthy. And it, you know, for me, I would like to see this coffee be a little bit cleaner. It did have some of those blueberry or berry notes, which again is typical from the process that we discussed a second ago. But, you know, this is a decent example of a natural Sudamo, not a killer, awesome 85, you know, SCA scoring coffee.
Mm. Yeah, I wrote dirty date. So I thought it was like kind of a date that was dropped in the dirt.
Ooh. Like you go out with a date or fruit?
Well, probably could go either way.
It was like a story unto itself right there.
Yeah, let's hear more about that. Yeah.
Dirty date coffee.
Forget the coffee.
I,
the dirt date.
I actually wrote like Hungarian dinner next to this one because I thought it was like stewed fruit, aromatic spice, nutty, like walnut, marzipan. I thought it mellowed out a little bit as it cooled, but I thought it was also very, it felt very roast forward to me. And I know that it wasn't all that roast. It was just kind of a dirty flavor profile. I wrote root beer, raisinette. So it had a lot of that dark fruit. But it also like, I agree with Scott that it should have been a little cleaner. And I think that's what kept me from, increasing the rating.
Well, our sips rating here for the Saidamo Natural is a 3.
Interesting.
Let's move right along to the wash version of this. Mark, what were your cupping notes on the wash version of the Saidamo?
Oh, this was my favorite, hands down. And I found that it was, of course, a medium acidity, very approachable. I wanted a second cup immediately. There was some light coca in there for me, and as well as some bright fruit, little light cherry and strawberry. Very flavorful, but a light coffee.
Hmm. Marina, I think this was one of your favorites of the flight too, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh, this was the one. You can always tell when you're tasting coffees or cupping coffees. There's always that one cup that you keep going back to. So like the coffee level just kind of drops down. And this, I found that when I was comparing them all, this was the one I kept going back to. I thought it was heavy, heavy jasmine, really aromatic. I actually wrote holy jasmine, Batman, nice and creamy hint of, like, I got like a squeeze of lemon. I got like an oat milk type of creaminess. I got like a sugar crystal type of sweetness. I dumped some sugar in there and stirred it around. Fruit, mango, light fruit, kind of tropical. And still that nice creamy body. So this one was my absolute favorite. And I would be drinking this every day, nonstop. Scott, send us some more.
Yeah, sure.
I like this one too. I mean, citrusy, lemony, juicy, very clean. Lot of those high notes that I really like. This is a great Ethiopia wash Saidamo for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely, like I mentioned earlier, my favorite of the flight. The one thing I would add to this was I actually wrote down zero fruit. I know Reverend Mark said he picked up on some strawberries, but that was probably one of the intensity of the flavor, as well as, you know, the absence of any fruit.
You didn't get any fruit?
I wrote down zero fruit. When I said zero fruit, I mean zero fruit.
You know that lemons and limes are fruits, right?
Yes, I know that.
I'm just checking.
I know. I'm trainable. Anyway, listen, we have a great rating for this. Our SIPS rating here for the Saidamo wash is going to be a 4. That's should classic. Definitely check that out for sure. Well, our last coffee that we have here in our lineup is the Natural Guji. Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, as we mentioned, the region is it's always been there, but it's been marketed as such in the last, say, decade. And Guji's are you don't see very many washed Guji coffees. It's just been known for that, the natural process coffees. And what I always look for in these sort of, if you think about the wine world, there's always a tell that sommeliers discuss is, you know, what's the tell that I would know what this particular wine is? Well, the tell in this coffee is it has a bit of eucalyptus in the background. So there's this kind of eucalyptus note with florals, with a lot of berry complexity. And this one has that. I think it's a super cool coffee. For me, the natural process coffees that have, you know, more balance and other things going on than just being a fruit bomb are the ones worth pursuing. And I think this is an example of a pretty good one for a Guji Natural.
That may be why the first thing I wrote down on my cupping notes was intense aroma. I didn't pick up that, you know, it was going to be that particular style of aroma, but of eucalyptus, but I'm sure that may have played into it. What else did you guys think about the Guji here, Natural Guji?
Well, Well, for me, and this was one that I roasted to, and I think I roasted it a little high, kind of a city roast. So the aroma, just because of what I did with roasting with the air roaster, was that it was kind of a earthy baker's chocolate kind of coming off. So probably wasn't the optimum roast. But I did get, talking about eucalyptus, I on my flavor notes, picked up cinnamon and licorice a little bit. A little licorice.
Wow, there's a lot to pick on there, Marina. So did we say anything remotely close to each other?
No, I think so. I mean, I love the eucalyptus note, and I did not write that down. But now I want to go back and brew it again and really,
I totally want to go back and cup this again. Yeah.
Because it's definitely one of those flavors that that you don't expect out of coffee. And then when you start tasting coffee in a way that helps you experience those flavors, like you're just sort of drawn back to different flavors. And I know I've had a few of Scott's coffees that have that really nice eucalyptus flavor in them. And it's always like a really nice surprise when I taste that, especially in a darker roast. You think that type of flavor would come out in a lighter roast.
Yeah, this was one of the beans in our flight here that I don't recall that I've actually had a natural Guji before. So that was nice for me to have something that it was kind of new and novel and different. So there were some other things I wrote down here. A really good balance. I did like it had a very good clean finish to it. There was definitely a lot more sugars, I thought, coming through on this. And the fruit I picked up actually was mango, was what I wrote down again. It's a kissing cousin of eucalyptus.
Sure. Closely related.
So, anyway. I wrote blueberry, blackberry, blackcurrant, and I thought that it had a nice brown sugar, almost like a maple candy type of sweetness. There was just something really rich about it.
I like the fact that none of us said the same thing. So it's a cornucopia coffee.
There's a lot going on in this cup.
I will tell you that we did like it. Our sips rating for the natural Guji is going to be a 4 as well.
That's classified.
Well, so there's a good overview of some coffees from this origin of Ethiopia. Hopefully you learned something, here. Well, it was really kind of cool to sit down and actually go through a full flight, because it seems like, I will sit down and I'll have like 4 coffees from the same region and they're different crops or something else. But I think having this variety all at once, I really loved. How'd you guys like the flight?
Send some more.
I'm a little biased because I selected it all. yeah. So I thought it was brilliant, personally. No, I mean, Ethiopia is an amazing country. We talked about this early on, all the history and being the birthplace of coffee. You can find some really interesting and unusual coffees there. I think almost more than any place else. I mean, these coffees are, you can tell they're related, but they're super different and showcase how special the country is as a producing country.
This was just a great opportunity. I mean, I'm an enthusiast and a home roaster, but still nonetheless a novice. And say that with all due respect to everything I've been learning today, but this has been a really good way for me. It has been a good way for me to kind of have parallel tastings of natural and washed, and to kind of understand, to dig a little deeper into what those differences are. So, yeah, it's been a great journey.
It is, it's funny. You think about South and Central American coffees, and you think about Indonesian coffees, and African coffees are just like, they're a little more adventurous. Like the flavor profiles can be a little wild. And especially if you like darker roasts, then I think you see a lot of African coffees very lightly roasted. So I think that as a dark roast lover, like don't write off the Africans, because they really can bring a lot of the flavor profile that you like. And they can definitely stand up to whatever brew method you want them to stand up to. And they don't have to sort of live in that, oh, I don't love light roasts, give me something like really rich. Like these coffees can stand next to anything else.
Well, there's definitely a lot of great coffee that'll be available from Ethiopia. Maybe look out for the 4 that we talked about here. There's definitely some more, a lot more coffees.
This is not
from
the end of Ethiopia.
This is just the very tip of the iceberg, so to speak. So It's a great region. You should definitely explore all of the wide variety of things that you'll have available from Ethiopia. Well, I want to thank my co-host for joining me for this conversation on this origin for Ethiopia today. Good old boy, Scott.
Thanks. Keep on roasting in the free world.
Oh, wow. I like that. Good old gal, Marina. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. If you're interested in trying more great coffees, you can find my company Beanbox at beanbox.com or on the shelves at select Walmarts across the country.
Cool. Reverend Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and see you later, alligator.
wonder what variety the alligator would enjoy. Hey, this is Good Boy Mike asking you, come back. Join us for another exciting episode, and I will ask you to keep on sipping.
Where's our applause? I want some applause.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.